Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. You can join us anytime you like at 312-981-7200. Wendy, in the history of tennis, there has never been a kinder, more gentler player than John McEnroe. John McEnroe has never challenged an umpire's call. He has never argued with anybody on or near a tennis court. He is, and I go back to the Victorian era, he is a gentleman's gentleman, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hello, John McEnroe.
I have to admit, I've never been introduced that way. So.
And probably won't be again.
I doubt it. Yeah, highly unlikely.
John, first of all, thanks for spending time with Wendy and myself today. Second of all, I can't wait to see you play tennis. It's the PowerShare Series, and it's coming to the UIC Pavilion a week from tomorrow. That's Wednesday night. We'll give you more details in just a little bit. But here's my first question to you. What is it like? You've been on a tennis court thousands, if not tens of thousands of times. What's in your head the first time you get onto a tennis court on any given day?
Well, you know, I try to put a lot of time and effort into it still. I have a tennis academy here in New York, but probably the first thing would be not to make a fool out of myself, especially when I'm playing guys, you know, like Courier, Philippoussis, Roddick, you know, a lot younger than me. They bring a big game, and fortunately it's set up where it's just one set each, so it gives me a puncher's chance. But at my age, you know, I want to just look good and feel like people would look at me and say, wow, that guy can still really play this game. That would be the number one goal.
Is it? Now, I've talked about this with Wendy. I'm a tennis player myself. In all honesty, it's a lot more fun to win than it is to lose, isn't it?
Oh, there's no question. You know, even at this age, our perspective's a lot better, but I've noticed that even more so. Although I have to say I learned that pretty early on. You know, there's a drive and a desire to get to the top. You get more benefits, more perks. People treat you a different way, so there's added incentive, obviously, money. But as you get older, you sort of take a step back. And tennis is one of the few sports, unlike football and pretty much all of them, that you see where you can still sort of participate in it at a later age. And that's why you see that there's still a Champions Tour, a Seniors Tour, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, my days are numbered, obviously. These new guys like Roddick, I mean, Roddick should still be on the main tour in my book. But, you know, when you get 35 over, Philippoussis is 40, I think. Jim's 46. So these guys, if it wants to keep going, have to sort of carry the torch.
Do you still enjoy playing? I mean, seriously enjoy it?
I seriously enjoy it when I'm actually feeling pretty good. So, you know, I put a lot of time and effort on and off the court, you know, go to a trainer. I feel better as a human being. But I actually probably enjoy it more now than I did when I was number one in the world.
Less pressure?
But certainly less pressure. I mean, you put a lot of pressure on yourself. You go to Wimbledon, and I'm a commentator instead of a player. It makes it a whole lot easier to smell the roses and enjoy my couple weeks over there. When I was trying to win, I was battling opponents, I was battling the press, I was battling myself. And I envy a guy like Federer, who seems to love the game so much and nothing really seems to bother him. So I'd say that is a quality I wish I had more of when I was actually playing at the top of my game. So I try to make sure I have a little bit better perspective now. So the other thing is just giving an effort. You know, I look at Nadal. He reminds me of Connors, the way Connors played. Every point is as if it was his last. So I try to go out now with the kids that I train at my academy or people that come watch and feel like playing in Chicago for me means a lot more than it might appear what people think, because I don't play that many matches anymore. I might play a total of, 20, 25 matches the entire year.
And that's it. How about that? We're talking with John McEnroe. He's coming to Chicago a week from tomorrow. It's the PowerShare Series. Go to PowerShareSeries.com for ticket information. It's going to be a great match. It's obvious, John, by watching you all these years, that you love the game, but are there times when you hate the game?
Certainly, as you mentioned, losing makes it a whole lot less enjoyable physically. I think more importantly, if it's just not happening, I have done this a fair amount of times, even on Jim Courier's circuit, this circuit we're playing now, where I go out there and I think I'm ready, and then Roddick steps up or Philippoussis, and they just start bombing serves, and your neck starts hurting from watching the ball go by you. You can't really react to it. It's still being hit it extremely fast pace, and it's sort of frustrating. It gets you sort of down, and it's pretty hard to like it when you're getting your, I think you can say ass filled, but
you can say
your ass kicked by someone. It's not a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
So then it makes me think about what else I can do besides playing. But, you know, I must say that I really, of all the things that I've tried to do the last 25 years since I stopped playing the main circuit at the end of 1992, it's pretty hard to top actually going out there and playing.
Yeah, sure. Yep. John, your
reputation. Hate to admit that at 15.
No, don't hate to admit that. Your reputation is obvious. You're probably one of the most passionate guys that ever played pro tennis. Any regrets on having that sort of a demeanor?
I mean, certainly, you know, six kids later, trying to set the right example. There's been times where the YouTube's videos have come up a little bit too often.
Yeah.
And so that seems somewhat embarrassing. And certainly if I had hindsight, like we all do, you would say, okay, there'd be certain things I would have handled differently because I would have made the situation better for myself.
Yeah.
And I sort of tapped out a couple times, and that's, you know, it's never a good feeling when you sort of lose it and then you don't feel like you have control, even though there was a lot of times where I was getting angry and yelling at umpires. 98% of the time, I felt like I was under control. I didn't
sure.
feel like I didn't know what I was going to do next. And there was a couple times where I felt like I have no idea what's going to happen. And that's sort of not a good feeling to have that. So that part I would change. But generally, I suppose that there's a lot of athletes out there that are champions that people don't really remember them that well, even though they were great champions. And the fact that they do remember, even though a lot of the time it's because of the way I acted as opposed to what type of results I had or what I achieved. And for a while that frustrated me, but now it's like I say when I speak to people on the radio, the things that I used to get fined for, now they actually pay me extra for. They'll be disappointed if I don't yell at the
Sure, sure.
You know, we all warn our kids to be careful with social media. Who thinks so many years later YouTube shows you at your finest? I didn't even think of that.
Well, I've tried to stay off social media as much as possible. Certainly, these people have addicted the human race, the people behind it. I haven't been a Twitter man yet or Facebook or any of these other things, but certainly as a guy who likes to play the guitar, for example, I go on YouTube and I can pick out any song I want. You go to it and things are available that are amazing. And so there's obviously good things about it. And in a way, it's sort of funny that you can go on. People, you can also even see matches. And the things, it's crazy how much the world's changing. I have no idea in 10 years what's going to be happening. But I know one thing, that in tennis, you need a lot of mental focus. And people's attention span appears to be, kids especially, that of like an amoeba. It's made it more difficult for tennis. I think it's a great sport, but people lose sight of the fact that a large part of sports is actually the mental part and the concentration and the focus that it requires, and that seems to be something that you don't see as much in a lot of sports anymore.
Are you still playing a band, John?
I still play with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, I try to convince my wife every now and then to let me jump on stage with her when she has a show. So I'm able to sort of maybe do that occasionally, and I'd like to, you know, I have an area where I can jam in my apartment, so that's fun. Not as much as I'd like, but I think the more that I play guitar, the more that I appreciate my tennis. So it works out, because in a way, like, I love the guitar, but I just don't play it well enough, so that gets really frustrating.
Did you start playing guitar because it's shaped like a tennis racket, or was it vice versa?
I started playing a little later, probably 21, 20. I saw Buddy Guy in Chicago at the old Checkerboard Lounge.
Yeah.
With an ex-bear buddy of mine, or he's still a buddy of mine, Gary Fensick. And I was like, oh, my God, this is just amazing. I mean, I'd seen other good guitar players already, but to see him up close and see what he did was inspirational. But it also made me want to quit because I realized he's a legend and And then I realized there's no chance that I'd ever be remotely close to him. But I had a chance to, you know, because of that and because of the notoriety and hopefully skill I had in tennis, I got to meet people and play. I actually jammed with Buddy Guy and Stevie Ray Vaughan once.
Oh, kick ass.
The tape is not available. You know, the two of them, that's, yes, but just cut out me, you know, cut out the part with me. I had it one time I was in Wimbledon, and there were the letters that they'd leave for all the players. And most, 99% of them were people asking for an autograph. This one note I saw, and I opened it up, and it said, hey, John, please call George Harrison.
Now, wow.
There's no way that this is actually George Harrison, but just because it was a Beatle, I said, I got to take my chances.
And it was him.
And I call this number, and it's George Harrison.
Oh, my God.
This is amazing. So I go up to his house. It's like a castle, exactly like where you think a Beatle would be living. And the next thing I know, it's like Gary Moore, the great blues guitarist, and yeah. George Harrison and I jamming in some studio near his place. So I'm like, there is a heaven.
Wow, that is so cool.
We're talking with tennis great John McEnroe. He's coming to Chicago a week from tomorrow night. It's the Power Shares Tennis Series. Go to powershareseries.com. All the ticket information is there. The wife that you mentioned, John, that you go on stage and jam with every once in a while, is Patti Smith from really one of the best.
Patti, you rub me the wrong way when
Smythe.
Patti Smythe. I'm sorry.
Patti Smythe, not Patti Smith.
A totally different singer.
People.
A totally different singer. So,
I'm with the beautiful one.
Right. Unless the other one is listening, in which case they're both beautiful.
No, she'd admit it.
I'm just saying the one I'm with is beautiful.
The other Patti Smith would agree with you on that. I got to be honest with you, John.
She's done okay, too. But my wife is a hell of a singer, and she was in Scandal.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
She can still bring it, and she's out trying to do a record right now. I think she's finishing one up, so hopefully she'll get out there and come to Chicago soon.
That'd be great. So you get to play with her. Have you brought her on the court? Does she have your love of tennis at all?
You know, she hadn't really played, but she started playing a little bit when we've been together 22 and a half years. But unfortunately, she hurt her knee. She had hit by a car when she was younger, and that had caused, she lost her ACL, and then she hurt, tore ligaments underneath. Thankfully, it wasn't when I was playing with her.
Yeah.
I never would have heard the end of it. She tore ligaments on the tennis court.
John, with the four of you playing in this Power Share series, do you already know who your doubles partner is? Has that already been decided?
Well, we don't play doubles. We play singles. I play Courier, and Roddick plays Philippoussis, and then the winners play. So we play a set each, and then the two winners will play in the finals. So it's about a two-hour exhibition. We go out. No one wants to lose, obviously.
Sure.
But we have some better perspective. But I haven't been able to beat Roddick because he just doesn't want to lose to an old guy. So that's my goal, just to get him once.
Do you even like playing doubles? I only played tennis in high school, and I didn't like doubles. I like doing the...
I like doubles a lot when I was younger for a while because I think it helped my singles. And I like, you know, the tennis, you're very isolated. So I like to play team sports, and I missed that a little in tennis. So playing doubles and, say, playing Davis Cup, which is where you represent your country against other countries, and you're part of a four-man team and some practice players, that felt more like a team, so I like that. But now I don't like playing doubles, really, because to me it's boring, and the game has gotten so different to me in the doubles that I don't find it interesting, particularly since really almost virtually all the time none of the top players really play doubles.
Right, right.
So that just, you know, it makes it even less interesting to me, but... I mean, you're covering half the court, so maybe when I turn 60, I'm going to have to start turning it up.
John, prior to your match a week from Wednesday, they're having a Chicago Media All-Stars match, and I'm participating in that. And the mere fact that I'm playing anywhere near a tennis court that you're involved in is the thrill of a lifetime to me. You've always been one of my favorite players, so impactful in my love of the game. So I can't wait till next Wednesday night.
Well, I appreciate that. I look forward to seeing what you got.
I hope so. It's...
We thought maybe you should...
Start practicing.
I can't wait. And actually, one of the guys I'm playing with is a guy named Mark Carman, who works here at the station, who has interviewed you in the past. He is your biggest fan, and he is nervous just because he knows you're going to be in the building on the night he's playing.
Well, I'm make a point of seeing you guys.
Excellent.
How much would it cost to walk by Mark Carmen and just look at him and go, you suck?
Yeah, would you do that for me?
Not much.
Thank you, John.
To my tennis foundation, and we'll work it out.
Okay. We can do that. We can make that happen. John, I can't wait until a week from tomorrow night, Wednesday night. I wish you nothing but the best, and I'm looking forward to seeing you play in the Power Share series.
I appreciate that. Nice talking to you.
All right, take care. That's John McEnroe. Again, powershareseries.com.
Thanks, John.
For all the ticket information. See four of the greats of tennis, and before that, four Chicago media all-stars trying our best to look like we know what we're doing.
Pretty exciting.
It's going to be fun.
He was too nice.
He was very nice, wasn't he?
Kind of a disappointment, quite honestly.
I'm not sure it was John McEnroe.